This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is part of our episode, Another Life. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Helium is a very important substance in health and science. We need it for MRIs, it's used in physics experiments, and the semiconductors that go into smartphones, computers, all of our modern electronics. But the price for the very pure gas has more than doubled in the past few years, and that is a big problem for research. Alan Yu takes us to a university that now recycles its helium to save tens of thousands of dollars a year.
A few years ago, Sophia Hayes gave up her salary for 1 or 2 months over the summer. She's a chemist at Washington University in St. Louis.
Any decrease in salary is always a negative, and yet if it's the way to keep your research program going, that is what many of us do.
She gave up her salary to buy helium. Her research needs nuclear magnetic resonance spectroscopy, or NMR. It's related to the MRIs in hospitals, only you use this to look at molecules and chemical reactions. Both of these need powerful magnets, and these magnets need to be very cold. That's where the liquid helium comes in. It's a powerful coolant, and it has to be much purer than what's in balloons, which is partly why it costs so much.
Within the sciences, anytime you need to get to very low temperatures, you need this resource. There is no other substitute.
Sophia says liquid helium is a critical liquid, which she pays for with money from research grants, like from the National Science Foundation. But she can't go back to the funders and say, sorry, the price of helium doubled. Can you give me more money?
Think of being in your household and the price of gasoline triples or quadruples. How would you make ends meet on a budget when you have a fixed amount of money coming in?
Helium is a byproduct of natural gas extraction.
It's not so much that there's, that the world's running out of helium. It's that the supply chain for helium is very, very sensitive to any disruption.
Mark Elsesser is a senior policy analyst at the American Physical Society. He says one reason that helium prices are so sensitive is that most of the time it isn't stored. Once we get it out of the ground, helium suppliers need to make sure they know someone is going to buy it from them. Mark says the volatile helium price is affecting what science does and does not get done in the U.S.
There are researchers who are exiting the field of low-temperature physics because it's just become prohibitively expensive for them to have a research group. We're losing our nation's capacity to do that area of physics.
Remember, liquid helium is used to keep things cold. So after it does that, it gets hotter and becomes a gas again, which means it'll just evaporate into space. Some scientists don't want to see this expensive chemical just fly off the face of the Earth. So they made a machine that can recover helium gas and turn it into a liquid. Give it another life. Jeff Sicker is a specialist who runs one of these machines at the University of Pittsburgh.
And now it will get loud. I want my headphones on. And we start.
The physics labs that use liquid helium have copper pipes to capture the helium once it turns back into a gas. Supervisor Tom Gassmeyer shows me where it goes.
This is our bag room. This is where the liquid helium, whenever it returns into a gas, is returns to. This is a 10,000 liter bag, big balloon.
It looks a little bit more like a gigantic, overinflated black air mattress. The gas eventually goes into a machine about the size of a big Xerox, where it's compressed. Then it goes to another machine, which uses liquid nitrogen to partially cool and purify the helium. Then it gets compressed again and expanded to lower the temperature. A portion of the cold gas at each stage circles back around to cool the incoming gas even more. Periodically, water, nitrogen, and other impurities get blasted out.
The water's louder than most things.
By the time you have liquid helium, it goes into a big silver thermos that's 6 feet tall.
You can feel it's getting cold.
It's very cold.
That'll freeze up.
By now, some of the pipes are so cold that there's a layer of frost on the surface. The system cost $4 million to build, but the university will recoup that cost in less than 10 years. And the physicist Patrick Irvin says it's saving the money year after year.
Since the system came online about 2.5 years ago, We've recovered about $200,000 worth of helium that we would have bought.
That's enough money to hire more staff and do more science. He shows me one experiment that he wouldn't be able to do without a helium recovery system. One where he looks at how electrons move in strong magnetic fields.
It just uses that much helium. Sometimes we can use 300 liters a week, which is, that's $3,000 per week.
Other universities have asked the University of Pittsburgh if they can buy the recycled helium, but they're scientists, not helium suppliers. Remember Sophia Hayes, who gave up her summer salary? She says her school is considering a small helium recovery system too.
Oh my goodness, you can't imagine. We are ecstatic.
If all goes well, it'll be in place in 6 months to a year. For The Pulse, I'm Alan Yu.